Hi, this is John Doe back again with a new fresh commentary. So I'm checking out Curse of the Blair Witch. The year's 1999. It's directed by Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. Running a copy of this 45-minute mockumentary via the Second Sight Blu-ray release of the Blair Witch Project. So if you want to sync up with me, guys, try and utilize that version. I know this documentary's sort of like readily available elsewhere, i.e. it's available on YouTube and probably other like video services online. So just give me a second here. So yeah, as I was saying, so this is the 1999 TV mockumentary created to promote the main Blair Witch Project movie. Just give me a second here. Yeah, what I need you to do, obviously set the timestamp to zero. Documentary on pause. Runtime's 43 minutes 53 seconds, just for syncing purposes. So timestamp set to zero, mockumentary on pause. If optional, put in your subtitles, countdown in five and we'll sync up. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit play. Yeah, this is amazing. Ideally, you watch this before watching the main movie itself. Blair, Maryland. So it's Ellie Kedwood. The law, the mystery, the witch. It was assumed she died from exposure. Oh, they never die. They always fucking come back, don't they? All of her accusers went missing. Great floating sort of like subjective camera shot here. She lives on, doesn't she? She's everywhere and nowhere. Maybe she's the trees. She's the branches. She's the earth. That's the terrifying thing. Oh, here we go. So the title's chopping into shot here. Yeah, this is part of the incredible, like, viral campaign, wasn't it? Leading up to the main release of the film itself. So the title is Curse of the Blair Witch. Yeah, it was amazing. You had the website, you had this mockumentary, you had the various like TV spots, you had like word of mouth. So 1994, so this is supposedly 5 years before the main release of the main movie. And there's old Heather Donahue playing herself, technically. To never return. So this is our film professor, Michael DeCoutar. That I've had the pleasure of teaching. Yeah, this is amazing, man. She was energetic. Really sort of backs up, drives home. I mean, there was this whole angle. I mean, I certainly fell for it around the time. I was like, is this real or not? I certainly remember jumping onto the website, you know, the internet in its like early infancy, thinking, what the hell is this, man? You got all this like archive or like video audio logs you're reading. You got kind of like a whole section devoted to the lore behind the Blair Witch. And then I'll see this documentary film crew. You're like, hang on a minute. And you're thinking, oh, they're going to release the film. Few months later, word of mouth was spreading from America in regards to like Sundance. I know the Americans got Blair Witch before us. I think the UK release was either September or October 1999, but yeah, I certainly remember the build up regarding this film, you know. Very, very powerful. Short documentary on. Be incredibly difficult to pull this off in the year 2025. I mean, it's been much imitated, isn't it? So this guy's amazing. Oh yeah, that's an old So what they did, incredibly clever, or Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, they'd use like actors like interspersed with like real locals, and then obviously the three like documentary filmmakers would go out and sort of like interact with them, not sort of knowing who's a real resident and who's an actor, you know. This is my only criticism in regards to the main film itself. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad they never like show us like a fully fledged witch character moment. You know, a witch running into shot would just be royally ropey and it would completely destroy the movie. But I just wish there was a little bit more around the origins and the lore of older Ellie Kedwood. And I'll point out the one visual moment that I wish was in the main documentary itself. It's more like just like an artistic rendition of the witch. You know, she's been like heavily documented in like old like text historical books, you know. So this is, I love this classic documentary and isolated stills. Yeah, very good. This. Some of the negative aspects of his. Yeah, initially, Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, they wanted to utilize more of this mockumentary footage in the main movie itself, but ultimately, spread over like, I think it was essentially over a week or slightly longer. I think they accumulated like 22 hours worth of footage from the three filmmakers, obviously Heather, Josh and Mike. And the footage was so good that ultimately they ended up using more of the actual like real footage in the woods itself, you know, and less of the documentary. So I like it. I think the final product's incredibly effective, you know. And as I said, ideally, you watch this 45-minute mockumentary before the main movie itself, you know? That was the brilliance of the Blair Witch process, final product. It was the setup, the build-up, the months leading up to the main film release itself. There was enough information or material circulating, you know? Either you went out of your way to find this stuff online, or as I said, word of mouth was spreading, you know? And it blurred the lines brilliantly between, is this an actual real documented event, or is it just a kind of like staged piece of fiction, you know? I mean, part of like Artisan's promotional campaign, they even had IMDb by like the actor. So you had Heather Donahue, Joshua Leonard and Michael Williams. They got IMDb on board to put like deceased by their names just the months leading up to the release of the film. And obviously none of these actors were doing like press junkets either. So yeah, a lot of people like, did they really disappear, you know? That's a chilling, isolated shot of the car, isn't it? Oh my God. That's brilliant, man. So we're going back in the past here, if I recall. Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, these little like television spots and the ominous music in the background's very effective. Yeah, missing students, as I said. Interspersing, isolated moments, word of mouth, you know, building up the lore, the history. Michael Williams and Joshua Leonard were reportedly essentially the 5 years in between, isn't it? Because they went out, supposedly, this is 1994. And then obviously we get to like 1999 and we get to look at the final footage itself. Necessary to look at the map now, even though it's kind of nice how they drop in Yeah, they show us enough the main movie itself to sort of as a like an additional selling element.
Because as I looked back over the proposal later,
and these extras, actors, that Heather had suggested, yeah, incredibly effective, isn't it? You actually believe this is like Heather's like proper like film professor, you know? That's the real power to the Blair Witch film and mockumentary, is the quality of like the casting. Yeah, the actors are amazing, man. Oh, this iconic missing persons poster. This is another like viral element. I remember this getting circulated it online as well. You had like obviously the TV spots, you had the website, which I'm going to check out at some point. I know it's on Internet Archive, guys. We'll have a good look at the original Blair Witch Project website. Yeah, I want to have a good, like, sort of, like, traverse my way for it completely.
With witnesses that may have seen the FEM students and never could... We can never look...
Quintessential town sheriff guy, and he's slightly overweight. ...has been called off. 10 days and thousands of man hours have been unable to produce... Yeah, this is unbelievable right now. So powerful, man. Family and friends of the Montgomery College graduates are holding on... As I said, magically blurring the lines, you know?
Well, when the story turned into a really big story, I went...
So again, even now, you know, the year 2025, I can't quite tell who are like actors and who are like real like townsfolk, you know? All these like interlinking elements, the search party, depicted in like black and white stills, you know. You feel the history, the weight, the legacy to all of this, you know. This is proper like world building. This is how you create like a legend, you know.
I have tried repeatedly to reach you on the phone, but you have not returned any of my calls. You and I both know the history of Burkittsville.
Yeah, the history. Well, the town's name was changed, wasn't it, from Blair to Burkittsville, based off this ominous legend of this witch character, Ellie Kedwood. And we ain't got onto like Rustin Parr yet. That's going to be coming in pretty soon. It's a nice, like, additional local legend element, isn't it? This weird fucking hermit character up on the hill who's like abducting children. You're not entirely sure if he's like out and out serial killer like Freddy Krueger molester type, or if he's under the influence of the witch, you know. So here we go, the origin. Yeah, I'll point out the visual in a minute, guys. This Wiccan witch male character. This is amazing, man. I love this, guys. So Lucan Johnson. Absolutely amazing, man. So mystic occurrences. Yeah, and it's supposedly filmed during the 1970s. Yeah, this is amazing, man. Paganism, witchcraft. It's sort of like essentially worshipping nature, isn't it? And if you properly look into like the origins or like a profession of like Wicca or sort of witchcraft, there are a lot of like good elements to it. It's obviously like it's been sort of like demonized and depicted in a kind of like darker manner when you come to like pop culture, you know? Salem witch trials.
Bring out Elizabeth Selwyn.
These are when people were tortured and killed, the Salem witch hunts.
Yeah, Salem witch hunts. This is why I'm still sort of like, I do even now find the whole concept or idea of like, if you like, you know, if you like, if you were to say you're looking at a witch from like all of like the badder aspects to the character, I find it still incredibly like terrifying, because to some extent some of this is actually based on like historical truth, you know. And the idea of a witch lurking out in the elements, hiding out in a wooded realm, you know, and manipulating nature, animals, the environment, you know. Right on the edge of like a town area, isn't it? You know, it's pretty, it's chilling stuff, man. This is the whole angle on it. They were like demonized, some of them tortured, murdered, or sent away, and then obviously the witch sort of comes back, you know. So this is the shot here, guys. This is the one, that one visual shot, supposedly, I'm guessing it, that's the image of the Blair Witch, old Ellie Kedwood. Yeah, this shot here, slightly closer. It's just how they depict her hair. It kind of mirrors the main Blair Witch Project documentary film itself. The moment when they're in the forest and they find like the wooded figurines. To me, immediately, if you were to drop in that illustrated visual of the Blair Witch right at the start of this documentary, and then you get to that moment, I don't know, I just think it'd be even more chilling, you know? I know we get numerous moments throughout the Blair Witch Project where Heather's sort of like reciting the lore, but yeah, you just need that one visual. So here's the town of Blair. Because essentially, the Blair Witch Project, it's functioning solely on like the power of suggestion, isn't it? There's not one moment throughout the entire documentary where we get to see a witch of any kind or sort, you know? It's 1785.
Her name was Ellie Kedwards.
Oh my god. So I love all this shit, all these artistic renditions of this banished witch woman. Ah, it's fucking disturbing with the red eyes. Yeah, now looking at it, I think they could have incorporated more of like these moments into the main documentary. The woman history has labeled as the Blair Witch. Maybe like Heather's got a book on the whatever's been documented regarding Ellie Wood or Ellie Kedwood and her backstory, and maybe she's got the book with her as they're traversing their way through the forest, you know. And sort of like maybe like capture the illustration sort of like handheld as they're looking at it, you know. It's pretty disturbing stuff, I gotta say. So you don't know this guy, this male practicing witch character, whether he's a good teacher or a bad teacher. He certainly knows his stuff, you know. He's got all the symbolism here. It's like cloaked blue robes, isn't it? Jesus, son. Left her there to rot, freeze to death. The following year, the young lady who was her first accuser went missing. The other children who were her accusers and children of the village vanished throughout the world. So our power lived on, didn't it? By the end of the winter, retribution, revenge. She turned back in on the town. Fucking hell, that is a chilling image, man. It's an unnatural height as well you get with a witch character. Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez have gone on record. If they were ever to go back to doing, or go back to like the Blair Witch Project, they had it in mind in regards to doing like a full-blown like origins tale, sort of like revolving around Ellie Kedwood. But they also went on record as saying, we've had that. That film was released a few years ago, if you think of like Robert Eggers' The Witch or The Witch. That's essentially the movie there in itself, you know. The occurrences surrounding the Blair Witch legend was discovered, entitled The Blair Witch Cult. The cult. So this is a nice angle as well. There's so many ways of, like, I don't know, assessing, or many ways of, like, reading the Blair Witch Project, i.e. in regards, you know, such an ambiguous ending. Yeah, there's so many, like, possibilities, you know, where potentially the three documentary filmmakers taken out by a, like, worshipping cult. Was it the witch itself? Did potentially Joshua turn on Mike and Heather? Because he goes missing, doesn't he? You know? Is there some, like, crazy rednecks lurking out in the woods? You know, did they take him out? You know? Could it potentially be the spirit or the ghost of, like, Rustin Parr? Who we're going to get onto pretty soon.
Back and they took it over almost over my dead body.
Yeah, this guy's amazing, kind of like a quintessential Captain Birdseye character. Yeah, all of these, as I said, these artistic renderings and how they cleverly intersperse it with, like, sound effects, very, very effective. Yeah, so that's just the only thing for me missing from the main documentary itself is a little bit more of this, you know.
Talked him into coming here and developing this here.
What I'm going to do, guys, obviously I've just picked up the Second Sight Blu-ray. There is a... let me have a look here.
Wheat was mostly...
What is it?
And the crops were in and they decided to have a picnic down on the local creek.
Bear with me, guys. I'm trying to read something here.
East Creek has been possessed by a demon since Eileen's horrible death a fortnight past.
I think it's the polluted by a foul oil. Oh God, what's this? August 31st, 1825. Yeah, it's the Sundance cut of the Blair Witch Project. Apparently, the final movie is like 4 or 5 minutes longer from the main theatrical cut. So we'll get around to watching that at some point. I've never seen it before, but apparently those additional 4 or 5 minutes are right at the start of the film. So I'm just wondering if maybe potentially I'm going to get that moment. You know, the, as I said, that isolated still shot of the witch. It'd be kind of nice if they were to drop it in, you know.
Well, supposedly, according to the story, there was 12...
All you need to do is just... Heather's got the book, and then either... essentially, Michael could be capturing it on the 16mm film as she's sort of sifting her way through the book. And look at all these warped, like, super creepy visualization of this fucking Ellie Kedwood character, you know? Yeah, all these children going missing.
How is it that 11 people happen to be in the right place at the same time to simultaneously see this ghostly...
So it goes through cycles as well. She'll manifest and appear, and then she'll disappear for like a few decades.
I think that in the case of the Eileen Trakel...
Yes, part of the deal when a witch, as I said, unnatural life, innit?
Someone wasn't watching the child.
Perverted, twisted way. Again, sort of preservation of youth. I know essentially as well, witches can sort of like shapeshift, you know, can sort of transition from a overly large sort of like oldish woman hag to a beautiful younger version of themselves, you know.
One who was taken from this world in such a terrible manner. As to your humorous view...
You may as well give out with the fucking praying, love. This land is fucking cursed.
Terrible spectres witnessed in the nearby townships. Whether or not these wild tales are true is incidental...
I don't know, it gets to a point. When enough people go missing, at some point you're going to go, yeah, we seriously got a problem here. I suggest you move elsewhere.
Sincerely, Eugene Robertson.
The river... according to what we've been told through written records, then turns oily and has a bunch of stick figures floating in.
Yeah, so setting up this angle, the stick figurines.
Food or drinking or anything like that, it's totally...
It's nice, man. Yeah, you about that. You ideally you watch this before the main movie, you know. Because it just shows enough of these like elements that creep up in the main film itself, you know. You, that's all you really need to do is just show that sense of dread, and then you let it play out. Because 9 times out of 10, the audience will fill in the blanks, you know. That's what you want. You want the audience's imagination to start filling in the blanks here, because nothing's more terrifying than your own, like, I don't know, conclusions. So here she is with the book.
They went into the woods prepared to find death. What they found was a desecration of humanity at the site.
Yeah, this is all, we just need a visual here. What is she's clearly reading text, but again, just as I said, a visual outline of the witch. Oh man, it's the only thing missing in my eyes. Years old when I knew her. So here we go.
She told me that when she was a little girl, she would had been walking in the woods one day, and this lady appeared to her.
Yeah, that floating.
She wasn't walking; she was floating in the air, really, and took her.
This reminds me of the end of Robert Eggers's The Witch, and it. They're all floating in the air, innit? So Anya Taylor-Joy or Thomason transitions. She's loving it though. If you watch the end of The Witch, she's fucking laughing, you know.
And ran back to town.
It's not all bad, you know.
The town had started to search for this, and out of search party to look for in the woods.
I know you sold yourself out to the devil, the goat devil, the dark side, but there are benefits, you know. Yeah, look at this, the symbolism here of the trees, everything almost in some weird way reflects the witch, the outline of the witch, you know. She becomes the environment, you know. But they achieve this effect a little bit more better here in this mockumentary.
And that search party come up on Coffin Hill or Coffin Rock.
Oh, Coffin Rock. Fuck me, man.
The first search party had been killed, laid out on a flat rock in the
woods. I love the sound effects in the background, the wailing and the screaming. And these overlapping, isolated, artistic. Gotcha. It's sort of like black and white, in it? Outline of, like, bodies tied up. It's showing enough, but not showing too much, you know. And it's way more effective when it's coming off some, like, ancient book, you know. As opposed to, like, really showing it for real. If you're going to show it for real, you make that movie set back in the day. And essentially, as I said, we've had that. Robert Eggers did that years ago. Well, it was 2016, wasn't it? You know? Yeah, it's very effective how they intersperse like black and white with colour, you know. That's the brilliant elements of the Blair Witch Project, this juxtaposition between like analogue and digital, you know. These contrasting styles like old and new, you know. Yeah, it's the right film at the right time, because we reached the point in like pop culture, as I said, the inception of the internet and the changing element in regards to, as I said, between like analog and digital, you know. So it's a really interesting like crossover movie, the Blair Witch Project, you know. Proper like zeitgeist film. So here's old Rustin Parr. So he's a convicted child killer, rapist, tormentor. Essentially a kind of like Freddy Krueger type of character. The only difference being he's obviously not haunting people in their fucking dreams. Yeah, and they never, like, fully explain. Is he under the influence of the witch? Or is he just some crazed killer, you know? Makes total sense. He's potentially a vessel, isn't he? You know? And if he's living out in the elements up on the hill, hermit type, of course the witch is going to recruit him, you know? Do her bidding. Also, as well, it's a classic manoeuvre, potentially a deceptive manoeuvre, innit? Confuse the town, everything starts getting pinned on him and they forget about her. Or her, like, history or legacy, you know?
So I remember...
Oh, I love this guy, man.
...was an old hermit.
Right.
And he lived up on the mountain. He had a place up there, been there for a long, long time. Sort of in the winter, I guess, the fall or the winter, 1940, some of the young kids started to disappear, and nobody knew anything.
It's another chilling element, isn't it? Some creepy fucking guy abducting children, you know?
And said, I'm finally finished.
And what did he mean?
Finally finished.
I guess nobody knew at first, but the police finally went up on the mountain.
What did they fucking find?
And they found the bodies of seven kids from the area.
So he killed seven children.
And then they brought them out of the woods. One at a time, and it just...
And this whole argument will be it wasn't me, you know?
Each of them had again been disemboweled. There was again reported strange markings...
I love it how they nailed this, like, 1970s look with this mystic male character. It's pretty, very, very impressive.
...to this crime, and in the court, he said that the reason he killed the children...
Jesus.
...that he was doing what this old lady ghost... had told him
Ellie Kedwood meet Rustin Parr.
That this man was
full blown fucking romance.
Fit himself into the mythos of the Blair Witch.
Again, yes, Wango is some crazed fanatic, innit?
Would escape from Parr's clutches.
Isolated site, social exiled from the town, you know. Believes in the legend, wants to make the legend live on, you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, I once again quote Kyle Brown.
As I said, the magic to this is the ambiguity, many ways of reading into this, you know.
He was cutting her. I looked. He was cutting a symbol on her face. Sometimes he would come up to me. Do you hear her?
There's some element here about
I would cry.
Standing in the corner, and it with your back turned.
Cut her open.
Yeah, we're going to... Here we go, it's coming up here if I recall.
He left with her and I never saw her again. When he came back, he told me not to be sad, that he'd bring someone else back soon.
They burned Rustin Parr's house to the ground.
Sophia again.
He was hanged 2 months later.
He was hanged up.
November 22nd, 1941.
And I had a tape one time of a...
Bill Barnes, Burkittsville historian.
He was murdered. He was killed for murdering those seven.
Let's see.
How did you do it, Mr. Parr?
I heard voices in my head.
Yeah, voices in his head.
Woman's.
Ellie Kedwood.
No idea who it was.
She told me to do it. She said if I would do it, commit these crimes, she'd give me a extended lifespan.
Mr. Parr, were you alone in the killings?
Yes.
Mr. Parr, how did you get the children into the woods?
It was her. Okay. Candy?
Candy.
Yeah.
Did you kill other children that we don't know about, Mr. Parr?
No.
Over here, Mr. Parr. Mr. Parr, why those seven children?
Is there some significance to the number? Oh God, and again, when you get to the end of the Blair Witch Project, I think it's all, I think the house at the end of the film itself is, I think it's Rustin Parr's house, isn't it? Because you get all the children's, like, handprints on the fucking walls, don't you? Fuck me, man. You can kind of see why you need to watch this before the main documentary itself, you know? Because it kind of helped you fill in a lot of the blanks. Oh, he's loving it as he laughs as they take him away. Fucking hell, man. Oh, that's the end of the film. Heather's incessant wailing. Fucking hell, absolutely chilling.
What?
nothing. I don't know why you have to have every conversation on video, man. Tape some.
Because we're making a documentary.
Yeah, documentary, Heather, and we lie in your fucking map and compass. You don't know where the fuck we're going.
Doesn't hurt.
She's more concerned about filming this thing, you know. 1995, right? Oh, this is all of the footage itself. Tape. So yeah, you've got this 16mm, and then there's the kind of like high 8, isn't it? This is so fucking good, man. Even now, after all these years, I still think it's fucking real.
So we're working over there.
I like to buy into the mystery, you know. It's more sense in getting caught up in the mystery as opposed to like the overall like resolution, you know. Yeah, here we go. The formation of stones. So this is the.
And so I checked, and you know, nobody.
Okay, something's buried in it.
And about 20 minutes later, Pete comes running up.
So loads of like probably like corpses, I'm guessing.
Backpack in his hand.
Okay, yeah, no, it's the their fucking gear, wasn't it?
It appeared that the stones had been there for many years, and had not.
How's that possible?
So it makes you wonder how someone had.
Again. This fucking witch character's very, very powerful. Manipulating the elements, you know.
That they were originally in the ground.
As best you never venture into the fucking woodland. Stay in the town. Stay safe. Or don't be in a town, live in a fucking city, you know.
They would probably stay there for years and years more if they hadn't have done that anthropology dig.
What I recognized real quickly were a couple 16mm film cans.
So we go, Blair Witch, like, roll, don't know what it says here, tape 6.
This had nothing at
yeah,
all.
Video 8.
Period stuff, of course. And so,
love it how they've aged the cassettes here.
Footage was,
absolutely nailing it in regards to, like, the lore, the backstory, the history, you know?
I found was the students themselves, some scary noises in the woods.
So you weren't put off at the finale, so law enforcement, eh? Oh, fucking Mikey boys stood in the corner, you know? Yeah, look at the outline here. Yeah, look at the trees. You know, like the
Hello?
The shape of the tree to, in a weird, sort of like black and white, almost resembles a figure, you know?
It's all around us.
This backpack was found in sterile soil, which is like the bottom of a site. Just, you know,
so compost layer, ash, cinder, sterile earth layer.
The original house at the site had burned down.
So the house fucking burnt down.
Sitting in the interior of the house. Like the
how convenient, you know?
The knapsack had been in sterile soil with no evidence around it of disturbance. Along over the top of it was an undisturbed layer of ash, and the whole thing was boxed in.
It's fucking chilling, isn't it?
Basically, a colonial era wall that was undisturbed.
It's clearly on some. It was some area. The ending of the Blair Witch Project. Yeah, the location has got this historical element to it, isn't it?
It was as if it materialized.
Like an old dark space, you know. Where bad things happen.
At the time that the footage was found, it was scary. It was very, very eerie.
Scary, but inconclusive.
It's not something that I really want to look at. To tell you the truth, I've kind of avoided it. I don't feel too.
Yeah, just imagine, guys. You're back in like 1999. You get your hands on this. You realize like the film's coming out in like a few months' time. You're like. I'm definitely going to see this film, you know? You've had a good look at the website, the TV spots, while short, highly affected, again redirecting you back to the website. I think it's www.blairwitchproject.com. It's no longer up. It's on Internet Archive, but very, very effective at the time.
him, I still...
Because the internet was essentially still a new thing, so... It was a lot easier to, like, pull the wool over the audience's eyes with stuff like this.
Because of the way the tapes were hidden and the fact that it... Just to view the tapes, they are very realistic, and they do... The tape is from a time period that the students would have been able to have taped it.
So at this moment here with Heather, where she turns to the right, starts screaming. Apparently it's some guy walking by her in some like white cloak. Thankfully they don't show us, but she sells it pretty well.
The case of the Black Hills disappearances has once again been closed. The investigation was reopened last October after film...
Yeah, inconclusive. I love it as an ending, you know. Doesn't resolve itself, you know. The mystery, the legends lives on, you know. This is brilliant. This is where, as an audience viewer, you project yourself into the material. You know, you start filling in the blanks, you know.
Shooting a documentary film project in the Black Hills area near Burkittsville.
This is where I like the idea of the witch living on, that it really was a witch, you know, because to me that's like the most chilling conclusion.
Called in the county authorities early, and we contacted the FBI later for more in-depth searching.
And I hate to publicly criticized.
Thing is, the witch like disappear for like decades. Kind of like a, think of like how the clown in It functions. It's like resurfaces like every 30 years. You get a kind of similar element here with like disturbing tales of like witchcraft or witches. That's the image again, guys. Yeah, they really should have put that in the main movie, man. It's so effective, man. Because look at the outline. As I said, it almost resembles... She's almost like tree-like. And her hair kind of resembles the... sort of like twig figurines that Heather, Josh and Mike ultimately end up finding, you know?
Or something surfaces and leads to her.
I think they knew the legend, but I don't think they knew the whole history. I don't think they felt...
I think Heather went in search for the history. That's the thing with Heather. She got caught up in it a little bit.
It was a way to get a...
Yeah, you got to say out of the three, once her ball's deep in the forest, she's the one that just wants to keep going, where the other two are like, look, we need to turn back, you know?
So sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault.
Artisan Entertainment. Made an absolute fortune off this movie. And it's a tragic shame that none of the main actors really ultimately didn't end up receiving a lot of money for this iconic movie. It's a real shame, man. They're so good. They're essentially like 50% of the movies based off such like believable performances, you know.
I think it's unexplained. I think it remains unexplained what happened to them. In my law enforcement career, I've seen...
It'll remain unexplained. You need to get your ass to the cinema. See if you can figure it out.
Establish a new identity. There was no reason in this case for them to do that, and there's no indication that they did. There's never been...
Yeah, it's so effective. I remember at the time the build-up to this movie... Even if you were trying to ascertain, trying to find like the actors who essentially were playing themselves in the documentary, there was really like no bread trail, you know. There was, as I said, IMDb, an artisan created this, you know, these missing posters, and obviously you went on IMDb, they were all like pronounced as dead. That's so good, man. I don't know if you struggle to pull it off in a modern era, you know. So July the 16th. So I think that was the release date in America. I know in the UK we didn't get it. So I think it was around about September or October, you know. So that's it, guys. Curse of the Blair Witch. Yeah, it's wonderful, man. So as I said, I'm looking to check out the Sundance cut of the Blair Witch Project relatively soon. 4 or 5 minutes worth of additional footage. So intrigued to see what they add, you know. Yeah, this second sight to this special edition is unbelievable, guys. If you've got a chance, do pick up a copy. It's like the definitive version of the Blair Witch Project. I love that figurine, it's sort of on the poster. Artisan. Cool, guys. John Doe signing off. Don't have nightmares. Back again soon.